Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Oh, hello, everybody, and welcome. It is the 100th episode of the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob Mackowitz. How you doing, Bob?
Matty, I'm really proud of us that we got here.
Yeah.
Mostly because in the face of adversity, that adversity largely being a bad pod.
Yeah.
We managed to get here.
Yep.
Way to go, us.
Yeah.
We care so little about quality that we were willing to do this 100 times.
Exactly. Oh, how dare you? This is, I would say, the number one ranked condo 80, I don't know. Yeah. This is fun, Bob.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Love doing this. It's one of the highlights of my week. I hope people enjoy listening to it.
Absolutely.
If you've been with us from the beginning, thank you for that. If you're new and you've joined us along the way, in a way, I even like that better, you know, because it just means that your group of friends is growing.
Yeah, exactly. And as always, tell people about the pod. Get them hooked on it. Just tell one coworker, neighbor, friend, stranger on the street, whatever it takes.
You can sum it up easily.
Yeah.
They talk about Toronto sports, sort of.
Yeah.
We do.
We do.
We talk about sports every episode.
We do.
But we also talk about other things. For example, before we started up the pod, we just made a reference to the pepper grinder. You know, when you get the pepper and there's the peppercorns, you crack them up and you put it on your food.
Yeah.
Does it bug you in a restaurant when the person stands over you and holds the pepper grinder and gives you the look like, would you like some? And then you have to sort of say, yes, I bestow unto you the duty of giving me the pepper.
I don't mind that because I like being served on. But what I do you ever do it where, like, this is more with Parmesan cheese, where even though you've had enough, you want to just see, well, they keep putting more on until I stop. Because so many servers, they instinctively at some point stop when they deem you got enough Parmesan cheese.
That's a good point. I'd like, you know, it would ruin your food a bit. But if you could live with that, it would be a good bit. There used to be a show on TV like 15, 20 years ago. It was a parody of a Japanese game show.
Yeah.
And there was a character on it called Mr. Shake Hands Man. And he would talk to famous people.
Yeah.
And he would start shaking their hands, but he wouldn't let go.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
And you had to time how long it would be. And sometimes it got up over 2 minutes.
Really?
Where they'd be having a conversation, but still shaking hands because the person didn't want to let go first.
That is a really polite person on the other end.
Very polite. Well, you're on the red carpet. You're selling. Yep. Always be selling.
Always be selling.
Speaking of being served on, Maddie.
We got a gift.
We did. You want to open it up now? Yeah. I was going to tell you about something I did for the first time ever 2 days ago.
Oh, we got a lot to talk about. Okay. But yeah, one of our listeners, Buffalo Phil, sent a box for the 100th episode. The box has been here for a little while, so very excited to open it up. And oh, it's hats. It's
I love hats.
That say they did it, Naylor. Wow. Oh my God, that's hilarious. Okay, so
that's a very funny gift.
That's a very funny
gift.
Thank
you, Buffalo Phil.
Thank you. And that's a very inside joke. I'll explain quickly for people who don't know. When the Leafs won the lottery to get Austin Matthews, Dave Naylor, and Brian Hayes from TSN 1050 were broadcasting. And right when it happened, Brian Hayes said, they did it, Naylor. It's a hilarious clip that we play over and over again.
And on the back, it says 100 episodes of the picture of us from the pod, the artwork. And then speaking of artwork, my daughter's artwork for when she did a poster for our pod.
Yeah.
And I think you posted it on Instagram.
I did.
It was on your account.
On my Instagram account.
Well, apparently, we should take pictures of us in our hats because you and I both, you know what we both look like right now?
What?
We both pull our white ball caps on. Mm. We look like we host a fishing show.
Yeah, we do.
We look like we should be out in the Florida flats.
Yeah.
Fishing for bonefish or some such thing.
See, that right there tells you how little you know about, first off, what are the Florida flats? Maybe the Everglades. And also bonefish?
Yeah.
Is that in Florida? I mean, if you're going to do Florida,
why don't you go
marlin, grouper?
Well, I was going low rent.
Okay.
See, marlin and grouper, that you have to have a boat for that. I'm talking about when you're standing out there and you got your pants rolled up to your ankles or your knees, I should say. Speaking of which, Saturday, my wife went down to New York. She's there now. And before she went, she wanted to get a pedicure. Mm-hmm. And she said, why don't you come with me? And I have never done this before.
You got a pedicure?
I am not the kind of person who is into getting fussed over. Yeah. As you know.
Yeah, that's true. You're not.
I don't like to be bugged. But I thought, okay, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Because she asked me to do it. She asked me to come along and it would be like a fun thing we do together.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a pedicure for the first time in my life.
Really?
And it was weird.
Oh, yeah?
I think I liked it.
Yeah.
But I also felt like I was cheating mm-hmm. in a weird sort of way. It felt a little too private.
Yeah.
You know, like it's kind of my business. Like yeah. I don't even know you, you know. But the weirdest thing, Matt, it's not where they, you know, nails and all that and goo, they put goop on you and stuff. To get at it like a cheese grater, and they work your ankles over with what amounts to a Parmesan cheese grater.
Really?
Like, yeah, and it tickles like hell.
Yeah, like
but it was weird. It felt like something between torture and surgery.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't sound very good. I mean, torture and surgery are two things you try to avoid.
I avoid them whenever possible.
It's one of my mantras. First thing I do when I wake up in the morning.
So maybe, like, I don't get it, though, because this is supposed to be, like, the height of comfort.
Yeah.
It didn't feel that comfortable to me.
If you
it felt
took,
awkward, if you and there took, was a cheese grater involved.
If you took your socks off right now, would I be able to tell?
Oh, no, honestly. Like, the whole room would light up like the Christmas angel just went on the top of the Christmas tree.
Bob, I mean, we've already done one visual thing by just opening up a gift.
Is you know, it, I'm not going to do this, Matt.
Come on. Come on.
All right.
Take off your CBC sock. Let's take a look.
I have a CBC sock on.
All right. Let's
look,
take a look.
There's
here.
My foot. Like, oh. I got, like, sock schmutz on.
You know, but it is round. It feels more rounded. Yeah, there's a bit of a sheen.
Yeah.
There's a sheen.
So there you
I'm
going to
call
buddy.
It Charlie and Martin. That's a horrible joke by me.
No, it was good. It was the sheens.
The sheens.
No, it was good, buddy.
Very nice.
All right. So what do you want to move on to? You got all excited and you went on vacation for a week. So you
yeah.
had time to rest. So usually I'm the one who comes in like with my bag over brimming with notes.
Yeah.
I got nothing today. I got a tea. I'm
that's
just here
okay.
to, I'm going to rock and roll with whatever your creative mind comes up with.
Okay. First thing. And we'll get to sports. In terms of sports, this is a great day in Toronto. The Leafs are just 1 point back of Tampa and Nashville without Nylander and a lot of Matthews. And the Raptors, as of right now, have got the best record in the NBA. So there is a lot of joy to talk about in the world of sports locally.
It's a sunny day.
It is. I'm actually sweating.
It's actually one of those winter sunny days. It's not quite winter yet, but it's yeah. wintery, where it's sort of cold,
mm-hmm.
but it's not brutal because it's bright out.
Yeah.
This is the best this season has to offer.
It ain't getting better from here, folks. It's only getting worse.
Bright and crispy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's that sounds like a candy bar of some sort. So I, for the first time, did not check luggage. And
you went carry-on?
I went carry-on, and I hated it. I understand you get quicker because you don't have to wait for your luggage. But it also means now I feel obligated to get on the plane earlier because now I've got to put a large, you know, my carry-on bag in the upper compartment. And also means I'm taking more time, you know, the people behind me because I got to, you know, futz about and then leaving the plane, grab it again. And it means I can't be the last one on the plane. I like having a tiny little bag. All I have it in is my book and my phone. That's all I need. I'm a checked luggage life kind of guy. And I got to tell you, I didn't like it. Didn't like it at all.
The one thing that you're right about for sure is that you can't be the last person on because then you're doing the, you're trying to like a squirrel just checking all of its various
yes.
caches for nuts, right?
Yeah.
You're just trying to find that one spot in the overhead racks that isn't already taken. And it's always a drag. And I don't know why we get territorial about our spots because it's not like we, you know, I mean, you rent the seat. Technically,
yeah.
it's yours for that duration, but it has to be in your area
mm-hmm.
or you start getting nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that if it's anywhere, say, more than 12 or 15 feet away, you have anxiety about your bag in the overhead?
I think I would. Now, this is my first time and I was able to have it pretty close to me, but I didn't like it. I don't like how we're just, there's a war going on. Where the carry-on bags are getting larger and larger because people are self-entitled and they're like, oh, I don't want to check my bag.
Well, but also it's expensive to check your bag if the pounds go over, right?
Yep.
So if you're over, I guess, whatever it is, 50 pounds, however many kilograms. So you want to get as much into your bag as you can because that way you get as much stuff and you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, I know. But, oh, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. Beyond, yeah.
I would feel, see, you say it's people being entitled, but I also think in a way it's people don't want to get jerked around. Because have you ever had your bags lost?
Yes, I have.
Right, me
twice.
Too. Right, it's a drag.
It is a drag.
Well, you know, the last vacation I went on, my family went to Aruba. People we were with, bags lost. It almost feels like there's a decent chance every time you go, your bag's going to get lost.
Yeah, I know.
And look, it must be crazy trying to organize. like as a job, trying to organize people's luggage going from one place to another.
Yep.
But that said, though, if it's important to me, I want it on the plane with me. I don't want to leave it up to chance. I don't want to leave it up to Air Canada or WestJet or whoever to make sure something important to me gets there, because they don't always do it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So it's not self-entitled. You're protecting yourself.
There's self-entitlement in there. Anyway, Costa Rica, great. Gorgeous weather. Went scuba diving. And for the great thing with scuba diving is you're all alone in the world. And
did you scuba?
Yeah, full scuba. Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. Down like 40 feet down looking at sharks.
Wow.
And it's one of the few times where I've gone more than a couple minutes about wondering about Nylander's contract.
Hang on a second. Before we get to Nylander, you saw sharks?
Yeah, lots of sharks.
Sharks in the wild?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Was that your first time?
Yes, it was my first time seeing second time.
Was it
scuba.
Like the first time you saw a shark? I've seen them before in the wild too.
Yeah,
I did this in Bahamas, but anyway, but like I wasn't down 40 feet with
it. Great. It was because you know we had a guide with us because you're not allowed to go. You have to have a guide with you, and there was only three of us together doing this, and so I felt good because the guy didn't swim away. If the guy would have been like woo, and then you know like Richard Dreyfuss when he sees the dead body and swims up to shore. If that happened, then I've been freaked out. But the guide was cool, so then I'm like, okay, this is cool.
It's the same rule that I have with flying, which I don't love, but I always check the flight attendants, and if they look calm, I'm calm. Mm-hmm. And if they look nervous, I'm nervous. So that would be like the same thing with the scuba guy.
Exactly.
Scuba guy's calm. It's like, okay, well, okay. You know, this isn't his first rodeo.
Yeah.
I guess we're all right.
There you go.
I remember when I went snorkeling with my wife, I guess it was first time we went south, Mexico, 20 years ago, and she's very uncomfortable with fish and being in the ocean.
Well, this is a wonderful activity to do.
And we were about to get into the water and she said, are there going to be fish?
She said that?
Yeah.
And oh my God.
I couldn't lie to her. I was like,
maybe. Yeah, there might be.
Maybe there might be fish.
How'd she do when she went in? Cause there was fish.
So what did she wind up seeing? Barracuda.
Ooh.
Just like 10 feet away too, just hovering near the surface.
Yeah.
And she said, all she could hear was everything went silent except for her breath. All she could, paralyzed with fear.
So great trip. All right.
Wonderful. Okay, so pedicure, Costa Rica, hats, and Nylander. And here we go.
Here we go. Really, the big picture is you owe me an apology about the Maple Leafs. Morgan Riley.
Oh, I do.
I thought
we were doing Nylander.
I said he had room to grow. And I know that was
that's 100. You know what's 100th pod shaming? Go for it. You've earned this.
Exactly. Well, I said ages ago, when we're talking about the Leafs defense, they have room to grow. And where's it come from? Where's it come from? From Morgan Riley, because he was still young. He's still only 24 years old, second on the team with points, 9 goals, and the Leafs, and well, this is Frederik Andersen as well, but the Leafs are 5th in goals against. 5th. So part of that is on Morgan Riley, and just when you take a step back, because they're 20 games in, Morgan Riley might be, if not the best, the second. He's in the top 3 for the best Leafs so far this year.
It's amazing when you think that the best 2 Leafs this year, maybe the 2 most important Leafs, are the goalie and a defenseman.
Yeah.
So all these concerns we have and all the pride we have about the forwards and how much they can score. So that's nice.
Yeah.
We got that going for us, which is nice. What can I say except for sorry? I was wrong.
Yeah.
I went by the standard old school thinking that says once you've played a certain number of games in the NHL, you probably are what you are.
Mm-hmm.
But he, DeMar DeRozan, did.
Yeah.
But he's also defense came back even better.
You know, defense
not that young, man. He's
24 is young for defense.
Yeah, but he started when he was 19, I guess.
Feels like he's been there forever.
He's been here forever. Him and Gardner and Kadri are the longest serving Leafs. So he's not new. But, and it's not a Par Lindholm situation where he comes over and he's older or Zaitsev.
Yeah.
He started young and he's got a lot of reps, but there's no two ways about it. He's on pace for 100. He's not going to get that. But wouldn't that be pretty great, though?
That'd be insane.
He leads the league in scoring.
By the way, you did the most unsatisfying thing there, Bob.
What did I do?
You just said, yeah, you're right. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
Well, what am I going to do, Matt? You're talking about him for the Norris. Like, it's hard for me to say, Matt, you idiot.
Yeah, but
you're
I don't
missing
get
the obvious metrics of blah, blah, blah.
I don't get to revel.
The guy's been great.
I don't get to revel in being right because, like, yeah, you were right. I was wrong. Sorry.
You know what, Matt?
Now I think like
you
should,
because it doesn't come up a lot, you should take this moment to feel good.
How dare you? Look at
about
you.
Besting me in open combat.
Uh-huh.
But I'm wrong. I'm absolutely wrong.
The most remarkable part, probably Frederick Anderson.
So true.
You know, and always.
What is he up? He's like about 935
now? 934 save percentage.
Wow,
looked it up this morning. No Nylander. Matthews has missed 9 games and only 1 point back of Tampa and Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, Kadri now back on pace, 29 goals for 29 goals and 60 points. It's pretty remarkable.
You know what Kadri is? Mm. You know when you go to the X or Canada's Wonderland, you play that game where you got the squirt gun and you have to fire it at the little target?
Yeah.
And it's hard. So you shoot and you're frustrated because it's not going anywhere. And you're like, but I'm shooting. There's no results. And then all of a sudden, pew, it takes off.
Yep.
And then you kind of move a little bit and it slows down. And then you hit it again and it takes off. That's literally how Kadri scores.
Mm-hmm.
In fits and starts. He is the squirt gun game.
Yeah. And, you know, it is natural without Austin Matthews. His production would go up. There'd be more opportunity, and you know, certainly has lived up to it.
He goes through those weird stretches of shooting percentage too. I think, like, was it last year when he was down to 2%?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty low.
Yeah, that was pretty low. It's thinking about it. There isn't, beyond Nylander, what's the big, like, you know, the development of Anderson and Morgan Rielly. What's the big story with the Maple Leafs right now? Beyond William Nylander.
I think because Nylander is so big, it obscures everything.
Yeah.
It's like the giant Zeppelin flying through the sky and blocking out the sun, and you're just in shadow for a while till it passes.
Yep.
Because we have a big conversation that's yet to be had about Jake Gardner,
mm-hmm.
and what's the money he gets at the end of the year.
This year's JVR.
Around? Right, 100%. And I think we knew JVR was gone.
Yeah.
And because we had these other forwards to replace him, we are fouling all over the place.
Yeah, that's.
Are we just going to give up on the idea that we're not going to call the Leafs we?
If they lose 3 in a row, then it's them. The fact that they're 1 point behind Tampa and Nashville, they're we. That's the nature of sports.
That's great.
We're doing great. So, wait, here's how it is. We're doing great versus they suck.
Your kid.
Yeah.
Got an F in math.
Yeah, yeah.
My kid got an A in history.
There you go.
So I think that there's other issues. I mean, the defense is always going to be an issue just because you're not sure, right?
Yeah.
But no, how can you complain? I mean, like you said, one point off the lead and winning is really the only story. Some of the metrics could be better. You know, some of the metrics could be better.
Of course. There's absolutely things that can be improved. But if we were doing this in any of the other markets, there's no such thing as the perfect team.
They are in the residential area that we hoped they would be. The Nashvilles, the Tampas. And then there's always weird stories, too. Like, I see Florida at the bottom of the conference. And
Pittsburgh.
And Pittsburgh's at the bottom.
Yeah.
And then you've got Montreal, which hasn't necessarily cooled off yet. Although I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I don't even care if they make the playoffs. Great. Enjoy 8th.
Yeah. First off,
enjoy just sliding in.
They're not going to. I looked, of all the teams with 25 points or more, they have the lowest goal differential. They've had a great win-loss record. They're +1. So,
as my dear friend says, though, it's hard to rebuild when you got Carey Price.
It really
is. Just a little
really,
too good.
Really
keeps you in too
hard.
Many games.
Yeah.
Good for them, though. You know that Galchenyuk and Domi deal. Everybody seems happy. So mm-hmm.
I think with the Leafs, my final thought with them is that I wish just whatever would happen with Nylander and Marner and Matthews contracts, I wish it could be done so we could stop talking about it. So we could focus more on, wow, did you see what Marner did versus, wow, did you see what Marner did, comma, man, his price is going up.
The thing about the Nylander story, I guess because I'm not working full-time in sports anymore, we do the pod.
Neither am I.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's true. But you were there for a lot of this.
Yeah.
And even the lead up to it before the season,
yeah.
What's going to happen? I mean, this goes back to probably August, right?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly September. Is I don't think you can talk about it enough because every time you talk about the Nylander situation, you're talking about another big factor on
yeah.
the Leafs that needs to be considered. Like, you can't talk Nylander without discussing Marner.
Mm-hmm.
What's Marner going to get?
Yeah.
And how does that affect the Nylander deal? Because if I'm the Nylander camp, I'm like, okay, you want to give me 7? I suppose I should be happy with that, but I'm looking at Marner, and he's 1 year off of me, and you're going to give him 10?
So then take a bridge.
And our numbers are going to be basically the same,
so,
and I'm going to make $3 million less?
Take the bleeping bridge. Take the bridge, bet on yourself, and get here. I'm like, you know, it's funny. With each day, I'm becoming more of just you know, your normal fan who just wants to be satiated with their sports happy. Like, Nylander, stop it. You're being selfish. You're being selfish. Stop looking after your own needs. And what about us? What about us? Get over here. The pool's warm. The water's great. The swim-up bar is urine-free. What the hell are you doing?
It's a good thing I always did our negotiating.
Oh, God.
I like to be on the air. Don't pay me then.
You'll get paid plenty. He'll get paid plenty. He'll get paid plenty for the 2 years. It's not like he needs the money. He comes from family that, of means.
Here is the here is the most interesting aspect of the Nylander deal.
Yeah.
I think. Is that you can make a reasonable case that he is anywhere from 60 to 90 points a year for the next 5-6 years.
Yep.
And you really don't know. Like you can make a reasonable case to say, well, we've seen him be about a 60 point a year guy. And I think that's who he is.
Yeah.
Or he could turn it on because he's young and he's amazingly talented and he could be a point of game guy. Maybe even more on a really good team with lots of opportunity.
Here's the question.
So how do you pay for that, though? How do you negotiate that? I realize this is the way the CBC is, the CBA is organized.
Yeah.
But man, if you're all parties involved, like I would ask for as much as I could. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, like, it doesn't bother me when players use other players on their own teams as comparables.
Sure.
Because you're going to have to get dressed next to that guy for the next 7 years. And if I'm making $3 million less a year and the guy sitting next to me and my point total's about the same, I'm not happy.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is $21 million. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again, Matt. $21 million.
Yep.
So I know the pool is warm, but I don't blame him for trying to hang on for every penny he can get.
That's my only just at this point.
Selfish players.
I'll say. Oh no, I'm not even saying selfish. Well, I guess I
let me throw this out at you though, because I thought our good friend Jonas Siegel, friend of the pod for all 100 episodes.
Yes,
I thought he had the most interesting, hottest / most reasoned take, which is if you can't come up with the deal, let him sit.
Yeah.
Just let him sit. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to face that because it's like saying law.
Because it's a waste of all the rest of the Leafs' talents. It's a waste of all the work that Shanahan and Babcock and all the players have done, because by not having Nylander, you're giving yourself less of a chance of winning the Stanley Cup.
And it feels like this is a year where they could do it. And sports are fleeting. Mm-hmm. Maybe Matthews is injury prone. I don't know that we have enough to say that, but maybe he is. Maybe Freddie Anderson never plays this hot again because he wouldn't be the first goalie to flash out and have a Vezina-style year and then just be, you know, pretty good. Like, there aren't a lot of Lundqvists and Prices that do it year after year. You know, I mean, you could be Braden Holtby, you know?
Yeah.
Or you could be Matt Murray. Who knows? Anyway, my point is simply,
there's no guaranteed long window of championship.
And they're good now, but... Mm-hmm. If you're ranking worst case scenarios, worst case scenario, he leaves and you don't really get anything for him.
Yep.
In a bad trade.
Yeah.
Then there is the you overpay and it screws up your team because your cap situation is now gummed up. You got the great player.
Yeah.
But you're cannibalizing your own team.
Which in a lot of ways is the worst one because Marner, Matthews, Tavares, Anderson, Morgan Rielly. You can argue all five of those guys are more important for the Maple Leafs than William Nylander, which is nothing against William Nylander. It's more of a tip of the cap to Leafs organization and all the other talented guys. So if you gum up the cap with Nylander, well, there's at least four other guys more important.
Which is why hanging on to him is not as bad as that. Mm-hmm. Because it's asset management.
Yep.
You know, you think about Dubas, he's like, okay, well, we'll just have to play this again next year and there's bad blood, but so what? Because at least you're showing the rest of the league, we will not take your worst offer.
Yeah.
We will go down with the ship, so to speak.
Yep.
And that's a tough one to swallow, but in the end, asset management is what it's all about.
Yes, it is. And I'd rather be talking about him and Matthews on the same line together than asset management, but that's where we are.
You know, it's funny too, because we all thought that the Kessel deal was no good. And that Kasperi Kapanen wasn't nearly good enough a piece to get back. And that's, you know, the way he's playing is one of those situations where you go, wow, that's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be an okay NHLer.
Yeah.
Turns out he might be a really good one.
A really good one. And again, if you kept Kessel, then you win a couple more games and maybe you don't get, it slows down the development. Maybe you don't get Marner or, you know, Matthews, you know, if Kessel had stuck around.
Oh, they just needed to change the story.
Yeah. Absolutely. Needed to flush it out. All right.
You've got so much to get to. Yep. And we did our obligatory quarter season mark, by the way, just before we move on quickly. Yep. Give them a grade at the quarter season mark.
I'm going to get A-.
Yeah, mine too.
A-. Second best goal differential, 1 point off the leaders, and with Matthews missing all that games and no Nylander, A-.
I'm going to say I want to give them an A. Mm-hmm. I still feel there are some roster questions that could come to haunt them later.
Yeah, Hainsey, Zaitsev, there are things.
Yeah, and Hainsey's age doesn't make me feel like the next three quarters are going to be better than this one, and this one was probably a solid C at best. So maybe that's unfair because I'm grading now, projecting against the future. Mm-hmm. But let's go A- and feel good about it because we're tough graders.
We are.
We are hard. We're like Morgan Freeman in Lean on Me.
That's right.
We are tough educators and we take no guff.
I've got the bullhorn and you've got the baseball bat.
That's it. Yeah. I was born to have a baseball bat in my hands. Like the manager in Spinal Tap, a cricket bat. How many more references can we drop?
David Sade Hubbins. Wait.
The manager?
No, the manager. Sorry.
Was the manager's name Ian Faith?
Yes, I think it was.
Or Ian...
Let's move on.
We should know this. That's shameful.
This ugly man. All right. Let's get to away from sports, and we'll get back because I want to talk about Raptors and also why I'm rooting for Draymond Green and Kevin Durant to fight. Just please keep fighting. Plus, Cam Newton talk, but Stanley passed away.
Yeah.
Passed away in between our last two podcasts. And listen, the 95 years old, everything that guy created. And it started to make me think of just who's had the most remarkable life. And I was just going with people in entertainment because then you could go to Gandhi or politicians. So I didn't want to compare it. And I came up with, I think, the single greatest actor in terms of who's had the most remarkable life. And it's not Stan Lee. It's Christopher Lee. And for people who don't know, Christopher Lee played, I always mispronounce it, Saruman the White in the Lord of the Rings movies. He was also Darth Tyrannus in a lot of those Star Wars prequel movies. I think most people might know him for the villain in The Man with the Golden Gun, and he was Dracula 100 times. You know the guy I'm talking about, right?
I know Christopher Lee very well. I'm curious to see how you think he had the greatest life of all time.
This one's easy.
All right.
All right, Bob. What if I told you that he was a world champion fencer?
Did not know that.
What if I told you he spoke not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six languages fluently? He participated in more on-screen fight scenes or on-screen sword fighting scenes, excuse me, than any other actor in history. He did all his own stunts. He was part of three different unions for stuntmen unions. Bob, I'm not done yet. Personally decorated for battlefield bravery by the Czech Republic, Yugoslavia, the English, and the Polish governments. He, in 1939, went to Finland. Why? Because the Russians were invading Finland. And then after that, served in the Second World War. The man was knighted. At 88 or 89, he was part of a progressive death metal rock band. At 89 years old! You find me someone with a life better lived than Christopher Lee. I will sit and I shall wait.
That is pretty good.
It's really good.
So Christopher Lee is underrated.
Christopher Lee is wildly underrated. Go down to Christopher Lee rabbit hole from doing brilliant movies to schlocky movies to everything in between. Christopher Lee. I thought of Stan Lee, and I was just thinking about remarkable lives lived, and eventually I got to Christopher Lee.
It's going to be pretty hard to talk about Stan Lee now.
I know.
He feels kind of 95, co-created Marvel Comics, arguably the greatest storytelling machine of the 20th century.
Yep.
Elevated pop art into high art, some would argue. But now it just kind of feels like, but what else did he do?
But what else? Yeah, exactly. Does he fence? And it just,
And which governments gave him an award during the war?
Yeah, exactly. None. But again, Stan Lee, in terms of influence in North America, one of the most influential.
Oh, for me, huge. But now I just want to talk about Christopher Lee.
It's crazy.
How do you know this about him?
I remember just coming upon it just a couple years ago. I don't even know how. And then I just started doing a little bit of research, and you know, there's pictures of him, you know, next to a tank, you know, with a machine gun. I mean, this is, there's no more interesting life than I can think of.
You know, Jimmy Stewart had a pretty interesting life.
Damn right.
But not as interesting as this.
No.
This is my usual answer is pale in comparison. Yeah. Bruce Dickinson was an Olympic fencer.
Yeah.
The lead singer of Iron Maiden. He's done lots of stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's done this.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Now I need to revisit all of those old Hammer movies.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
horror movies from the British studios back in the 50s and 60s. He was the big part of that. Those schlocky, like, horror of Dracula
yeah.
type
Oh,
movies.
Yeah. You look at a lot of the movies.
Does it matter that he wasn't a great actor?
I mean, he, you know, he did the villain role well, but never nominated.
Who's your favorite villainous actor? Is it Vincent Price?
I mean, I guess Alan Rickman doesn't count because it's got to be a
villainous actor, right? Like Peter Cushing,
yeah,
Christopher Lee, Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi.
Oof. Now I got to think about it. Like just because
I would say probably Boris Karloff for me.
Mm-hmm. Michael Myers? No, I guess that one doesn't really count.
He's not really an actor.
Yeah, he's not really an actor per se. You know, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what happens when, you know, when you throw it. I mean, that's such a tough one because it's, you can't do Anthony Hopkins. It's got to be someone who
right.
appears all the time. And you know, when he walks in, oh, okay, that's the villain.
You know who would know?
Who would know?
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee
I
would
feel
know.
Like the answer to everything now is what would Christopher Lee do?
Yeah, exactly. You know what?
I've got to like do a deep, has anyone done a documentary on this guy's life?
No, they haven't.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Why don't we do one?
We should do one. I mean, you can't even set up an Instagram account, but...
Whatever. Know, yeah. We won't do it for Instagram, then.
By the way, you know what Christopher Lee would do if he was alive right
what
now?
What would he do? Oh, he's not alive anymore?
No, he passed away several years ago.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah. He would probably use Jeff Pollock as his lawyer.
Oh, just to get things started up.
Just to get things started up, because...
Okay, here's your challenge, Matt, before you go.
Yeah.
Can you do this read without mentioning your will?
Okay.
Without mentioning, in fact, you know what? Here's a challenge.
Yeah.
Talk about the big win for the Western Mustangs.
No, I'm not going to mention the Western Mustangs. Jeff Pollock, who, you know, goes to Western or went to Western. Be odd if he still went there, but, you know, you probably should get your degree. Ages ago. Okay, you know what? I'll do this. I'll do this in a different way.
Okay.
Just felt comfortable. Just walked into the office. It wasn't ostentatious. It wasn't giant bricks and mortar. And that's a good thing because probably doesn't charge as much as your average lawyer from downtown Bay Street lawyer. You know, it's a nice little office. Feels very relaxed. He'll go and grab you a coffee or a tea. The people around him are really nice. And I think that's a reflection. If you want to know what sort of boss or what sort of the head of any company is and what they're like, go see who the people around are like. It's like the old expression. You judge a man or a woman by their friends. And, you know, that's what I thought about with Jeff Pollock when I went in there. So a really comfortable guy. He's our lawyer. He should be your lawyer. JeffPollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. JeffPollock.com. 416-777-0088. 416-777-0088.
Nicely done, Thank Matt. You. Nicely Thank done. You know Very reserved.
Yeah. You know what? I'm a storyteller, Bob.
I understand. Well, usually what you do is tell stories about yourself. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right? You managed to do it. You didn't actually take yourself out of the equation this time.
No, I didn't.
Kind of did talk about how you felt.
Yeah. Actually, that story kind of was about me.
It was mostly about
you. Yeah.
I went
true.
To Western for a year.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, not a lot of people do. It was not a successful run.
How'd you
run.
Fit in, Bob?
Not well.
Yeah.
Not well. I walked around with a big Chilean poncho and a big floppy Stevie Ray Vaughan
Good
hat.
God.
And I used to walk to school from Richmond and Oxford with a harmonica.
Uh-huh.
And I would play harmonica on the way.
What?
Yeah, that's the truth.
But my first thought with this is actually kind of a very base one,
mm-hmm.
which is, man, your penis must have been angry at the rest of you.
I had a girlfriend.
Did you?
I didn't care.
Okay. See, okay.
I wore the same jeans for 3 weeks just to see what would happen.
Yeah. How long did she stay with you?
You know, surprisingly long.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
In retrospect, she should have left. It would have saved us both a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. I just can't picture you as
smart me up.
Yeah. As a Western guy. By the way, Canadian college football, you got to do something. Laval beat St. FX, and no one thought the podcast was going here. 63-0.
Right.
And
That's the Rouge et Or?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. And you watch it up close, and you just feel bad for St. FX. You'd see the offensive lineman just for Laval just jumping out from their position and just pushing these kids back. Like, it felt like adults taking on kids. It's just ridiculous.
I don't think that Canadian college sports can ever be really that exciting because all of our best athletes go to the States.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, I think it makes the NCAA a lot more interesting to the average Canadian, particularly
on Duke.
100%.
RJ Barrett, excuse me.
But he's certainly not alone.
Yeah.
You know, like, look at the last 10 years in the draft. Like, there's been a lot of Canadians who are lottery picks.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Murray feels like he's poised to take another leap, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I was watching Indiana the other day, and of course, Corey Joseph was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, yeah, completely forgot about Corey Joseph. It was such a big deal that he was in Toronto,
yeah,
you know, having been from here. But now there's lots of people from Toronto.
It normalizes it.
It totally normalizes it.
Yeah, it totally normalizes it to the point where, like, if there wasn't that many Canadians in the NBA, we would be making more of a stink about Anthony Bennett and just what a complete bust he was. Like, oh, that Canadian was taking number one overall. But we sort of just moved on.
Oh, and by the way, for everybody who wants to stick this, Canadians have a lackadaisical attitude, you know, and they're not driven winners the way the Americans are because Anthony Bennett was not driven.
Yeah.
And Andrew Wiggins doesn't seem especially driven.
Yeah.
Steve Nash.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know if Tristan Thompson is or isn't, but he plays a tough game, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he gets in there, he's definitely in there. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
it's not his fault he was drafted fourth.
Nope. And yeah, Steve Nash, perfect example of that. I'm going over my list of topics. We'll stick to NBA. The biggest one, and ESPN must have been loving about this last week, was the whole Draymond Green suspended for a game, fighting with Kevin Durant, and then you find out why was Draymond Green suspended. It wasn't for calling Durant a bitch. It wasn't for yelling or screaming. It wasn't for any of it. It was for telling Durant, go. It was saying, listen, we won a championship without you. We won 73 games without you. We're just fine. That is, I mean, I love that statement because I love the soap opera nature, but it's so human. Because if you're Draymond Green and everyone's just talking about, oh, we got to keep Kevin Durant. If you're someone like Draymond Green, who's a bit combustible, in his mind, it's like, wait, bleep this. We've done it without him. Like, just his pride is hurt.
Well, and he's also looking down the bench and he sees Steph and Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
It's like, there's still some pretty good players there.
Yeah. Yes, there's the greatest shooter of all time, and Klay Thompson could average...
Greatest glue guy. Scottie Pippen of our era, but without the defense.
Yeah.
Not as great defensively, but still, like, just that guy who will never let you down and will explode if you need him to.
Yeah, exactly. You want six threes in a quarter? Klay is...
He's your man.
Klay is your man.
You know what's so weird, too, about the Steph Curry thing is how we talked about normalizing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When he pulls up 5 feet behind the three-point line and hits it, like, it's ceased to be bizarre.
Yeah.
And now it feels like there's almost something normal about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing normal about that. The three-point line is supposed to be the line of excellence.
Yeah.
And he laughs at it.
Oh, yeah.
He'll shoot from bloody well anywhere and make it. And he's not, I mean, he obviously has a gunner's mentality, but they're not dumb shots. Like, if you're Steve Kerr, most people pulling up like 5-6 feet behind the 3-point line, you'd be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, hey, there's 21 seconds left on the clock. Steph's got the ball. Oh, he pulls up from 38 feet and hits it. Good thinking, buddy.
Yeah.
Nice play, just the way I drew it up. The Kevin Durant thing is interesting for a variety of reasons. I think the most important one is, was there ever going to be a point when these one and done guys start driving people nuts?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like the LeBron factor. Like, I know the great players have earned this for themselves.
Yeah.
But still, if you're the rest of the team, you're just being held hostage over and over again, according to what this dude wants to do.
Yeah. Every day you're hearing the conversation. Every day, well, what do you think is going to happen? And if you're, and also the idea of, oh, this is, if you were the other players for Golden State that were there when they won their championship without Kevin Durant, it's got to rankle them a little bit when I was like, oh, no, they're in a lot of trouble if they lose them. It's like, wait. Do you remember we won a championship? We won 73 games. You know, the only reason we didn't win back-to-back was, you know, ironically, Draymond Green was suspended for one game and Kyrie Irving hit a crazy shot near the end of game 7. Like, you know, you play that series out, Golden State wins it.
So here's a nutty question.
Yeah.
Let's play NBA hypothetical roster changes. We're going to roster bait here for a second.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Take all the teams out of the Eastern Conference. Take them out. in the West, is there one team that Kevin Durant could go to right now that you would say, now they are absolutely the odds-on favorite to beat Golden State?
If Kevin Durant... Well, if he went to Toronto...
No. That's why I said take the East out. Because the best options are in the East. Either Boston or Toronto or arguably Milwaukee.
Here's one.
Philadelphia.
New Orleans.
Interesting.
You put him with Anthony Davis. Now you've got the two of the top four best players in the NBA on your roster. You have two guys who are really smart. So they'll figure out a way to play together. Durant is a hell of a passer. So New Orleans would be the one. If you throw him there in the West, that's the team. I mean, I'd still pick Golden State to win it all. But they
that's the one that would have the best shot. Although, you know, him and DeMarcus Cousins, although Kevin Durant's better than DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
But the two of those guys had a hard time coexisting. I realize there are differences in each other's games, but I think that what really jumps out at me in this question, though, is all the really dangerous teams appear to be in the East.
Most of them, yeah.
If you thought about who is going to be building a super team,
yep.
There's at least three teams in the East that are closer to building a super team than all the teams in the West.
Yep. Boston, Philly, Toronto.
What about L.A.? What about the L.A. Lakers? If Durant were to go there with LeBron.
With LeBron. A, that would never happen, but we're in the
we're playing the hypothetical rosterbation. Most of the people you rosterbate about aren't going to happen. Yeah, isn't that the rule of rosterbation?
It's the of all forms of Asian.
100 pods, still ticking.
Still going. LA's weird. Just defensively a mess. By the way, one little thought here. LeBron James gets 51 points against Miami. How does he get it? He heaves up a three at the end of the game. No one talks about it. But Jamal Murray, the Canadian, tries to get 50 in a Denver win over Boston. And Kyrie Irving is so pissed off, he grabs the ball, chucks it into the stands, gets fined for it. And the next day goes, that was a bleep move by that bleep player. No one brought it up to LeBron. Did that the other night in Miami.
It's a good point. The Kyrie's reaction is what made the Jamal Murray story a story.
Yeah.
But I thought that all the criticisms of Murray for trying to do that were sort of weak. Like, I realized they had the game won already. Yeah. I know there's a kind of, just play out the clock once you're guaranteed a win pretty much.
Yeah.
But he's going for 50.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a historic mark. You know, would it be wrong to try and score on an empty net if it was going to be in your 50th goal of the season?
No.
Right? You want your name in the history books.
Yeah, exactly. And there's just something about, it's weird with sports and numbers that 50 means so much more than 48.
48's a pretty amazing accomplishment.
48's a hell of an accomplishment.
But 50.
But 50 is.
Well, when they give out the list of people who've scored 50, when you accept Jared Bayless and Terrence Ross out of that list, it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, exactly.
Raptors are terrific right now. They went through a bit of a dip,
mm-hmm.
but they're pretty banged up. I think that, you didn't see the games. The Boston game was a heartbreaker.
I saw all the highlights. Even though it was in Costa Rica, I would still check to see. And the best thing you can say about that game, and tell me if I'm wrong because you watched it, was at the very least, Toronto was the better team for a lot of that night. You know, they blew the... If you're going to lose, I'd rather blow a lead late than get blown out early, try to stage some sort of comeback, but still lose.
Toronto beat Boston, but Kyrie beat Toronto.
Yeah.
When you really look at the starters matched up, the bench was pretty bad. And the bench, you know, you and I have kind of had a eye on this all season long.
Mm-hmm.
Our starters are really terrific. And in the end, this is what we wanted, right? Like you and I talked about how balance is great for the intellectuals. But if you want to win, you know, in the NBA, great starters. And they look like they have the best starters. The Jimmy Butler deal, we'll have to see how that plays out. Philadelphia is always about the health of Joel Embiid. Even with Jimmy Butler there, it's still about the health of Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, it was heartbreaking, but they looked good. They played really good half-court defense. They neutralized everybody except for Kyrie. I think Jason Tatum had 21, and pretty much everyone else was in the mid to low teens. And
if that,
no one else really stood out.
No, and listen, Kyrie just hit his shots.
All of them.
There was good. If you play the proper defense and he makes the shot, there's nothing you can do.
That was the deal. I think what disappointed people was for the second night in a row, there was a ridiculous ISO play that was called for Kawhi at the end of the game.
Right.
And I think it was mostly memories of what the team complained about, the fans complained about for year after year with Dwayne Casey. But I still kind of get it. You know, like, he's Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
You know, it's still not a terrible idea to have your best player with the ball in his hands with the chance to win.
For me, well, my issue with that moment wasn't the play or the play call using the isolation. And yes, too much ISO is always bad. It was the body language of Kyle Lowry.
Oh, my God.
And everyone has seen that meme now a thousand or that GIF a thousand times of him just. And it was the perfect way to describe it. He looked like Charlie Brown, you know, sad Charlie Brown, just walking up the court, head down, just no energy at all, completely dejected.
Now, do you think that Kyle let it drop there or that it may have come up again later?
Ooh, I actually go either way on this one. I could go, he's just going to be passively aggressively quiet about it and not.
He's smart
it
enough
up.
To be passive aggressive.
Yeah. I don't know if he brought it up, but that for me was my bigger issue in the end of that Boston game. Was
whacked my knee on the table.
Oh no.
100th episode injury.
Oh no.
I'm going to get water on the knee, which is such a funny sounding injury, but not so fun to have.
No, it's not.
Well, you better get another pedicure.
Yeah.
Just to get over the hump here.
Yeah, you know, again, nice sheen on your feet there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Charlie, you saw Charlie. Martin was still in the sock.
Yeah. Cam Newton.
Okay. I'm going to warn you before you start, Matt.
Yeah.
I watched zero football yesterday because I made the decision that I was going to go all in the NBA and the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are so far out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I didn't watch yesterday. My daughter's, my wife's in New York. I'm taking care of my daughter.
Daddy-daughter day.
Yeah. So whatever you say, I'm going to do my best to keep up. But it may need to be a soliloquy.
Quote, Cam Newton, I'm 29 years old, and you know I ain't eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and animal crackers at night. Why did he mention that? Quote, I picked up a hobby that I really enjoy. It's pretty cool. I think I'm on 70 on Blanc right now. There's a story that Cam Newton is becoming a big wine guy. And on the team, Rudy Pitino, a supervisor there, he is not only the Carolina Panthers food service provider, but he's also their, quote, resident wine expert. Cam Newton is big into wine. And the most remarkable part of this is usually the athlete drinks a lot of like just heavy California wines because men drink big, bold wines. What's Cam Newton drinking? Crisp, acidic, Sauvignon Blanc.
All right, Matt. Now, what I'm about to say here is going to end the pod.
Okay.
And I'm sorry about that.
Oh.
Not right away, but in time.
Okay.
Because I've got the answer for you.
All right.
You need to be the sommelier to the sports stars. Hear me out. They're all becoming brands.
Yes.
They all like to be kind of cultured, right?
Mm-hmm.
They all want to extend into different, you know, their tentacles, you know, as they become moguls and all this. Well, what do moguls do? They drink wine.
Yep.
How often have you found in your life that the ability to talk wine with powerful people? Oh, I'm getting a hug from Amy. Why?
Amy, you want to come on the pod for a second?
I have a feeling like maybe
Amy's
others
always
have brought
said
this
I
up.
Should. Amy's always
sports
like sports song.
Perfect
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
Sports song.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, if you don't go right now and register sportsom.com, sportsom.com. Matt, do I have to print the $1 million for you? I watched Some Kind of Monster, the Metallica movie, and they had a life coach who toured with them for 2 years. And he was basically just an Instagram post in human form.
Yeah.
You could tour with all these guys. You zip around. You got your podcast now. Sportsom.com. Great name, Amy. Great name.
Amy, do you want to say anything in the pod?
So you hook up with like all these. They're mostly of drinking age.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are a little young, but they're mostly of drinking age. They all got tons of money. And they want to play with the big boys, like Kevin Durant, for example.
Yeah.
He signs with Golden State partially because of the basketball, but also because he wants to be a billionaire.
Yep.
What do billionaires do? They drink wine.
They do.
You're going to be the guy who introduces wine to all these people so that when they have events, they have great wine at them. Look, I can't spell it. Sportsom.com.
See,
honestly, like you are six figures, you're touring the world, you're going to games, you're in the private box, you're remembering this pod and hooking up your buddy Bob from time to time. Girlfriend's coming too.
Yeah. Amy's been wanting me to do this for a long time. I have pushed back with it. And but my pushback was about I didn't want to do a sports som podcast. That was the first big pushback, was I didn't want to do something like that.
You don't have to. Mm-hmm. This is a separate business. Do your pod. It's how you get your name out there. Mm-hmm. But you got to exist. Like, you need to market yourself. It's niche marketing these days, Maddie. You know sports and you know wine, mm-hmm. right? And you're personable.
Amy's just staring.
It's so funny. Amy is just like jumping up and down. Like, yeah. Happy. Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. I don't know why you're mad at me.
Sportsom.com.
Yeah.
You know what? Like,
no, I will not.
You go to golf courses, you help them set their wine, you know, because you know sports.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they got money.
They do have money.
And they want to be cultured in a way that they never were cultured before.
So getting back to Cam Newton.
Okay.
Sauvignon Blanc. Good for him.
I don't want to hear about it. Like, if you're not going to do anything about this, you're just making me sad with this. I'm writing a web series right now, Matt. What? A web series.
Ooh, lucrative.
Okay. Okay, you're going to call up Drew Bledsoe and rep his wines to, you know, the New England Patriots.
Well, he does do a lot of good cab and and Syrah in Washington State. That's where Drew Blee's double back winery is the name of his winery.
Okay, sorry, I realize.
Speaking like of web, you know, there's only one website name.
Oh,
that
go
I can
for
think
it. Well,
is,
there you go. This is
there's only one website name that I can think of better than sportsom.com, and that's seatgiant.ca. They're a new Canadian partner for the show. Actually, they've been around for quite a while. Concert tickets, sporting event tickets, everything in. Anything under North American sun, seatgiant.ca. That's where you go for everything. And every ticket is legitimate. They stand behind the customer experience. But most importantly, all the tickets, they're in Canadian dollars. Seatgiant.ca. That's where you need to go. And use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout to save money. And Amy is staring daggers at me because she's been pushing me to do something like this for ages. I haven't. And she's like, you're going to agree with Bob. And that's why she is so angry right now. She is preemptively angry at something I haven't even done.
Do I get 10%?
Agents get 3.
Okay. Well, yeah. I just figured I should ask. Anyway, you should
What are you, Nylander's dad asking for so much money?
Matt, I'm looking for 8.5 over 7.
Uh-huh.
I want some guarantees put in case there's a lockout.
David Pastrnak doesn't get that much.
David Pastrnak wasn't David Pastrnak when he got that money.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. So what else do we have to do? Didn't you want to talk about losing underwear?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever done this? And we only got like 5-6 minutes left to go. I was packing for Costa Rica, and then so I'm all packed up, but then I got to put my clothes out, my airline clothes, you know, because I like to have my clothes laid out the night before, as you know, and I didn't have any underwear. And I realized all my underwear was in the bag going to Costa Rica, and it dawned on me, where's all my underwear? Like, have you had this happen to you? Like, I know everyone talks about the sock thing where, oh, I'm missing one sock. It's a trope. It's been around for ages. But I woke up and I realized I think I'm running out. And I don't know where that happened.
Matt?
Yeah.
The sock thing is understandable.
Yeah.
Because you lose one and then, you know, you just kind of lose track of them.
Yeah.
But underwear?
Yeah.
Because where do they go?
Yeah.
Where could you possibly lose them? It's like when you see shoes tied up on a telephone wire.
Yeah.
Or you ever just see random like clothing and like pair of pants in the middle of the street?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
But this happens to us every day.
Yeah.
With our underwear.
I honestly
go through this all the time. I think it's about a 4 to 6 month window
mm-hmm.
where I'll have too many and it's actually hard to close my drawer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm ramming them in.
Ramming it all in there.
Because I've overcompensated.
Yeah.
But then because I know within 4 to 6 months, there'll be 4 in there. And I'm doing 2 loads of laundry a week just to keep up with the demand.
I have no idea where it's gone, and it's upsetting me. And I'm hoping someone, MCOS56 on Twitter, if you have my underwear, could you please return it? Okay? If there's anything you could steal, that wouldn't be in my top 10 things I would steal.
Keys, you know, get misplaced, phone, like, you know, but they're out all the time, and you're out and about, and you're constantly.
I've never lost keys, phone, or wallet, but I can't find any underwear.
That's so bizarre. That's true, too, because you're so obsessive about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You never lose anything.
Well, no, because anywhere I go, I do I count to 4 before I leave. Because phone, wallet, keys, and glasses. And I'm like, okay, I've got all 4. I can now move to wherever my next destination is.
Your mind is like a grid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just like a remorseless remembering machine.
That's right, Bob.
I dig that about you.
Yeah.
I'm terrible.
Yeah.
I lose everything. And lately, dropping stuff.
Mm.
Dropped a couple bowls in the past week. So frustrating. Now, I know the truth is because I have gravy on my hands and it's slippery. I'm 40 days into my cleanse.
I was going to say, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Nice. I got abs.
Yep.
You know, I had abs of veal.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're borderline. They're not quite abs of steel.
Yeah.
We'll call them abs of...
less meals?
Pea meal? Yeah, abs of less meals.
That's I was just it. Trying to rhyme.
Yeah, abs of less meals. Well, that was the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's going good. I'm weak and I'm unhappy, but mm-hmm. I look better.
There you go.
Yeah. So the important stuff is covered.
Yep. Yep. The trade-off. Always that trade-off.
Amy gave me the thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You know, the thing is, I'm at a point in my life where I can't be handsome anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even trying my best, it just won't work.
It's distinguished. You got to enter distinguished.
You know, I've got, like, white hair and a mustache.
Yeah.
You know, I can't look
well, the good. Mustache is a choice.
Yeah, I know, but it actually covers up flaws, right? Like now I'm just hiding as much of my face as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the only thing I can do is be skinny. Guess.
I guess it's the last thing.
It's the last thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing left. I got the pedicure, but mm-hmm. who knows?
Hey,
well, everybody now.
Feet looks good now. It's just got, you know, just work from the ankle up.
Anything else sports-wise that we want to talk about?
No, no, we only got a couple minutes left.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah. I got nothing. I got nothing. Well, 100. Actually, no, I do have something very important to say, which is thank you to everybody for listening.
Yep.
But also thanks to you, Matt, mm-hmm. because you are the best partner. You are the best guy. And I've said it before, but I will say it again a million times. When I was sick, you stood by me and never even a moment's hesitation. And even when it was time to fire up the pod, wasn't easy for me to do, but you completely stood by me the whole way. You were a great friend through the process. And the best reason to do this pod, as much as I love performing and enjoy talking sports and stuff, if it wasn't with you, it wouldn't be the same. And it probably wouldn't happen. So I thank, as much as I thank everyone for listening, I thank you for being the awesome guy you are and making this possible.
Thank you, Bob. I'm touched. I'm honored by that. I love you. Really, the only thing I'll just add is the best version of me on air is with you.
It's amazing, isn't it? You and I, you can't explain these things,
mm-hmm.
but this is the thing we were supposed to do from the time we met when you were working it off the record. It was only a matter of time. The technology had to catch up with our vision.
Yep.
But as soon as they created pods, it was like we were meant to do it.
Absolutely.
I would love to do this every day.
Mm-hmm.
If only there was a medium in which you and I could talk about sports for like, you know, say 2 or 3 hours at a time.
Yeah.
You know, you got to make money, so maybe you fire commercials in between, like, say, every 11 minutes or so.
Every now and then.
Just pipe in some, you know.
And people listening, buy the goods and services you're hearing about.
Wait. Yep. I'm spitballing here, yep. but people could listen in their cars, but they would want to know traffic reports. So
we could
get somebody to sort of tell
every
people
now and then,
weather, traffic,
things like that. DVP's looking bad at Lawrence.
Right. You know, that would be helpful, right?
That would be.
Like news they could use.
Yep.
If anybody has heard of anything like this,
mm-hmm.
let us know.
Let us know. You know who could have done that? Christopher Lee. He could have invented that. That old bastard died. Goodbye, Bob.
Bye, Magic Chicago.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.